This is Focus West Michigan for Thursday, April 16, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Newaygo County has issued an evacuate now order in the Muskegon River floodplain below Croton Dam. WGVU's Dee Morrison explains the danger is rising water, not dam failure.
With the Muskegon River reaching major flood stage, Newaygo County Emergency Services has ordered an immediate evacuation below Croton Dam. Officers are canvassing impacted areas, warning those who choose to stay that emergency services will not be available and power will be cut to protect the grid. Dr. Jerry Evans is medical director for Region 6 Healthcare Coalition, which coordinates with emergency response teams across 13 West Michigan counties.
A couple of our long-term care facilities are in floodplains, and so we are in contact with them, just watching and making sure that they're safe and don't need evacuation at this point. None of our hospitals are currently at risk.
All Muskegon River public access sites below Croton are closed, along with those on the White River near the Hesperia Dam, where a flash flood watch is in effect. Evans urges residents to take care while seeking higher ground, as many roads are washed out or flooded, and it only takes a few inches of water to float a car.
Be safe. Don't take risks. Please, if you see a flooded road, don't drive through it. It's not worth it.
Those choosing to drive around barricades or walk in restricted areas may be arrested. An evacuation center is open at the Newaygo County Commission on Aging in White Cloud. I'm Dee Morrison.
The National Weather Service has confirmed three tornadoes touched down in West Michigan on Tuesday night. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
The National Weather Service has released details on the paths of the three tornadoes that touched down Tuesday night into Wednesday morning in West Michigan. In Allegan County, an EF0 tornado touched down around 11:38 p.m. southwest of Allegan near Schermerhorn Lake. The tornado traveled 6.5 miles on the ground for approximately 10 minutes, crossing over M40, then lifting just west of Otsego. Top wind speeds were recorded at 80 miles per hour. 4 minutes later, an EF1 tornado touched down northeast of Otsego, traveling 16 miles east for 21 minutes before lifting near Hickory Corners in Barry County around 12:13 a.m. Wednesday morning. Top wind speeds were clocked at 100 miles per hour. An EF1 tornado was also confirmed in Montcalm County near Carson City. The twister touched down at 10:51 p.m., 2 miles east of Fenwick, moving northeast for almost 19 miles before lifting east of Parenton in Gratiot County at 11:15 p.m. Top speeds were near 110 miles per hour. No injuries have been reported in any of the three tornadoes. I'm David Limbaugh.
Some supporters are defending Grand Rapids Public Schools Deputy Superintendent Dr. Brandy Lovelady Mitchell. Mitchell is on paid administrative leave for the rest of the year, and WGVU's Phil Dawson reports Superintendent Dr. Ladrian Roby is recommending termination.
Dr. Lovelady Mitchell, she's a leader in more than one way.
Micah Perkins works with Dr. Brandy Lovelady Mitchell on the board of the Grand Rapids Community College, where both are trustees. In a public comment to the Grand Rapids Board of Education, he says people are not hearing her side of the story.
Her voice has been conspicuously absent in the public conversation around her termination.
Last month, Superintendent Dr. Ladrian Roby placed Assistant Superintendent Dr. Lovelady Mitchell on paid administrative leave and recommended termination because of her, quote, leadership style. Former subordinate Marcus Deja disagrees.
Dr. Lovelady Mitchell is a leader who both holds high expectations and invests in people's growth.
Lucas Leverett has a different view.
Her apparently boundless toxicity may finally be getting addressed.
Leverett says he'd like to know why, when the superintendent first recommended the board fire Lovelady Mitchell in 2024, she kept her job and got a $25,000 pay raise.
Raises to leaders that are up for dismissal when they already make 5 times the median income of our residents and our teachers.
Trustee Amber Kilpatrick says the board does not respond to public questions or comments at meetings.
While we will not respond to you during public comment, we are actively listening.
I'm Phil Dawson.
Muskegon City leaders want to avoid emergency calls from residents mistaking dredging equipment for a capsized boat in Muskegon Harbor. WGVU's Dee Morrison explains.
Last year, Central Dispatch received dozens of calls from people mistakenly believing they saw a capsized boat in Muskegon Harbor, which was actually dredging equipment. To prevent similar confusion this season, city leaders are sharing online photos of the equipment and informing the public that dredging is about to begin. King Company will start work in the harbor entrance late April, early May, as weather permits, continuing for several weeks. Dredging is a routine operation to maintain safe navigation for vessels in the harbor. This year's project will again deposit dredged material underwater off the shoreline near Pere Marquette, allowing natural wave action to redistribute it over time. City leaders don't anticipate any impact on public beach use or city operations, but want to share the information with residents and beachgoers. Dredging updates will be posted to the city's social media platforms. I'm Dee Morrison.
Grand Rapids food trucks are confronting rising costs to stay on the road. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us how operators are adjusting to spiking grocery and fuel prices ahead of Grand Rapids Food Truck Festival.
That's been the challenge, is how do we keep our prices somewhere that's reasonable and still make a living?
John Griffin is president of the Grand Rapids Food Truck Association, which is hosting next month's Rollin' Out Food Truck Fest, now in its 10th year. He says food truck operators are facing some tough decisions when it comes to the rising cost of food and fuel.
I don't see in the near future that the prices are going to be going down anywhere. So we're constantly trying to battle, make changes, adjust so that we can still provide quality service, quality food, and still go home with a little money in our pocket at the end of the day.
Lauren D'Angelo is Food Truck Association secretary. She says each food truck operator must do what's best for their bottom line.
Tomato prices have skyrocketed for whatever reason. We might just take them off of our sandwiches and just no tomatoes this week. So, I mean, it's just making those adjustments as they come along.
The Rollin' Out Food Truck Fest features 34 food trucks, a beverage tent, live music, and more. It's Saturday, May 2nd from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. at 250 Seward Avenue Northwest. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, I look at how the Land Conservancy of West Michigan is planning to celebrate 50 years, but first, news from around the state. Michigan nurses would no longer be forced to work overtime under bills passed in the Michigan Senate on Wednesday. Colin Jackson has more.
The bills would stop hospitals from making nurses work extra hours, with some exceptions. The package would also give nurses an 8-hour break, at least, following a 12-hour shift. Democratic State Senator Stephanie Chang says nurses need those protections.
Right now, hospitals can order nurses to work unlimited hours. When nurses are exhausted and sleep-deprived, they cannot help but make errors. And unfortunately, sometimes they might be life-threatening ones.
Some opponents of the legislation worry it could hurt hospitals' ability to handle staffing. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
Federal funding has been released to build part of a barrier system to keep invasive carp from reaching Lake Michigan from the Illinois River. As Rick Pluter reports, this is after the Trump administration moved the management of the project from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Rock Island, Illinois district to the Detroit office.
The move last week was perceived as part of an ongoing feud between President Donald Trump and Illinois' Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, also a Democrat, has tended to be more conciliatory in her dealings with the president. Pritzker's office says funding for the next phase of the project, which is in Illinois, will allow that work to continue. Joel Bremier is with the Alliance for the Great Lakes. He says the politics surrounding the Trump administration's action and where the project is managed is less important than the fact that the project is moving ahead.
It's really important just to get back to what are we trying to achieve here, and let's not throw up roadblocks that don't need to be there.
Congress is supposed to approve the next round of funding by the end of next year. I'm Rick Pluta.
Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support the show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. For the past 50 years, the Land Conservancy of West Michigan has dedicated itself to caring for Michigan's natural areas. I got the chance to speak with Marie Ortenberger, Advancement Manager for the Land Conservancy, about the history of the Conservancy, plans to celebrate this anniversary, and more. Take me back 50 years to the beginning of the Land Conservancy of West Michigan. Who started it? What was the goal? And what was the landscape like back then for a project like this?
Sure. 50 years ago, four volunteers came together to start what was then called the Natural Areas Conservancy of West Michigan. And their goal at that time was to protect West Michigan's important natural areas so that future generations could continue to enjoy them and benefit them, and that our region's native plants and wildlife could thrive there. And we've been keeping that promise ever since. Now, today, we're known as the Land Conservancy of West Michigan. One of the first projects that we did as an organization was at Saugatuck Dunes State Park. There was an opportunity to add 300 acres to that park. And our group of volunteers came together to advocate that that part be added, and also that it be permanently protected as a preserve. It's critical dune habitat. They wanted to see that it would never be developed, even, you know, for a parking lot, for the park or a campground. So they helped make sure that it was preserved as is, and now those critical dunes can continue to provide the important and globally rare habitat that they protect.
And they do this through, like, advocating with local lawmakers and things like that?
Yes. Yeah. Meeting with local lawmakers, talking to members of the community to garner support for it, raise funds, things like that.
Okay. What is a public nature preserve? How is that different from, say, a state park or something like
that? Sure. For us, nature preserves denote the properties that the Land Conservancy owns and manages. So those are properties that we hold and that we keep open to the public. So they're protected natural spaces. They have trail systems that run through them. And we manage them with our stewardship team to make sure that we manage invasive species, we plant native species and do restoration projects and support the health of those natural habitats.
Okay, so the land preservation you're doing is kind of multifold. You're, on the one hand, buying up land yourselves and then also advocating for local governments to protect the land that they own.
That's correct. Cool. And there's also a third way that we work where we collaborate with private landowners to help them to permanently protect their land with conservation easements that then we are charged with ensuring are upheld in perpetuity.
Okay. So now it's 50 years later. We've expanded and we've grown, and you're celebrating your 50th anniversary this year. How are you going about doing that?
Sure. We have a number of different initiatives to celebrate our 50 years of keeping nature nearby. Big one right now is our Explorathon event series. We have a series of three events that we're planning to showcase and highlight connected, protected natural land and help people in our community to see and feel the impact of that 50-year commitment to conservation. So this Saturday, we're kicking that off with a guided hike along the Lake Michigan shoreline. And that will, there's a couple of different options for that hike. We have a 2-mile hike, which is just around a loop at Ottawa Sands, but we also have a 7-mile hike that spans 2,400 acres of protected natural land that's all connected, 5 different parks and preserves, starting at PJ Hoffmaster State Park, running down to KLH Dunes Preserve in the Muskegon Grand Haven area.
Okay, that sounds quite fun. I imagine those hikes are not especially challenging.
The 7-mile hike does traverse some, so it's in a forested dune area, so you know there are some steep hills, but we've designed it so you can kind of hike at your own pace. We have 4 different pace groups for the 7-mile hike, so people who like to hike at a faster pace can hike with people that feel the same, and then we also have slower groups. Of course, both hikes also have aid stations staged along the way. So there's places to take a break, get a refreshment, some snacks, and all of the hikes are led by naturalist guides. So we'll be teaching about the history of the properties and the protected natural features as we go.
Okay, cool. So you'll be like stopping every now and again to say like, hey, this flower is this type of thing. It's important to this biome because etc.
Exactly. Yeah. Cool. And then the 2-mile hike is an accessible option. It's along a paved loop at Ottawa Sands. It's a no drop hike. So that means that the pace is set by the slowest hiker, and that paved loop there's not a lot of elevation change. So it's a much more accessible version of the hike.
Okay. So would you say wheelchair accessible?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And then you have 2 more events coming up, looks like in the summer and late summer. Talk about those a little bit.
Sure. So the series will continue after the Saturday. June 6th, we will host a guided bike ride in the region that we call our Eastern Glacial Corridor. It's a part of Kent County that's characterized by really diverse topography, and it's glacially formed. There's the glaciers, when they retreated, left lots of lakes and streams and well-draining soils that created the conditions for really unique habitats like oak savannas and prairies to take root. And so this region is a really important area of biodiversity, and we've worked with partners in that area to protect nature preserves and parks. So we'll be inviting people to participate in a couple of different bike routes of varying lengths around that region. Again, there will be opportunities to stop at parks and preserves to learn about the importance of protecting habitat in that region. And so that event is June 6th. We'll have tickets for sale on our website this week. The next event after that is a guided paddle along the Pierre Marquette River. That will be on August 29th. And that event is aimed at kind of highlighting the importance of conservation easements. While they protect private land, they also protect these important public resources like our rivers and waterways. So we'll be able to see kind of the impact of having committed to incorporating that into our work over the last 50 years.
Fantastic. One last time, if someone wants to learn more about the work you do at the Land Conservancy of West Michigan, what is the best place for them to go to get that information?
Yeah, they should definitely check out our website at naturenearby.org. There you can find all of the information about our upcoming events and purchase tickets, and you can learn all about our mission. Definitely also recommend that people follow us on social media or subscribe to our e-newsletter. Those are great places to stay up to date.
Awesome. And one last time, information for this Saturday.
Yes, this Saturday, the hike will take place at PJ Hoffmaster State Park. The whole event begins at 8:30. I will say we are running low on tickets for that. So if you are interested in joining us, definitely purchase a ticket.
Awesome. Marie, thank you for talking with me today.
Thank you so much, Joe. It's a pleasure.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Thursday, April 16, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.